Okay, a big yasher koach. Spread looks amazing, beautiful. We did some advertising, shkoyach to Ricky and the whole crew, everyone, those who have set up and prepared and help with the cleanup. We appreciate it so much. We have an anonymous sponsor this morning for Refuah Shlema of Tzvi Michal ben Tzipora. And he should have a Refuah Shlema. We should learn for his Refuah. And we'll get rolling. Continue to eat, enjoy. Again, big yasher koach. Keep spreading the word. We're going to get big. We're getting bigger. Okay, so we're in Parshas Lech Lecha. And what we're going to see is a certain mahalich in the Kli Yakar, in terms of how we look at Torah, how we look, particularly how we look at Drush in the Torah. And what you'll see is it's a mahalich that also relates to how we approach Abraham in the same way. You'll see what I mean. All right, there's a different kind of... I remember, many, many years back in yeshiva, the Rebbeim introduced us to a concept that was spoken about by Rabbi Lichtenstein, Zichrozecher Tzadik Livracha, Ron Lichtenstein. I can't use the exact words that he used because he used very, 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 very big words. But there was something along the lines of, you know, the Avos, when we're introduced to the Avos, and especially as children, we are made to think that they were, the word was something like ossified models of tzidkus, okay? In the sense that, you know, we look at them as they're like, you know, they're the most holy, righteous, like spiritual superheroes, which they were, but spiritual superheroes in the sense that they were like, you know, supernatural, right? That they had superpowers, right? That obviously we can't ascribe to human beings. Or, Rav Lichtenstein said, or should we look at them as people who were spiritual superheroes, but lived in this world, were able to use this world, find God in this world, as opposed to sort of, you know, comic book types of characters. You'll see what I mean in a moment. So let's look at the first piece. It says Yadalad, Perk Yadalad. Vayarek, Perk Yadal, Pasuk Yadalad. Vayarek es Chanicha, the Gomer. So this is the episode of Eliezer, of Avraham and Eliezer, and there's the war between the kings, and it says that Abraham had to go. Remember, Lot was taken captive. There's the war of the four kings versus the five kings. And Abraham goes out and he gets involved in this war. Vayarek et chanichav, so he takes his trainees. Rashi Piresh, Eliezer Levado Hayasha. Rashi explains, no, he doesn't take his trainees, doesn't take his peeps. He takes one peep. He takes one person. He takes Eliezer. Kishlosh me'ot u'shmona asar hu minyan shem Eliezer. Because 318 is the gematria. Gene Farber would hate this Rashi, chas v'shalom, but whatever. It's the gematria of Eliezer. And look, it says he took Eliezer, and those are his people. 318, that's really Eliezer. V'chider ha-mikra, so the Gemara says, so sorry, Kliyaka says, v'chider ha-mikra lomar mispar ha-more al-ish echad. Could it be that the pasuk is going to say, like, you know, some sort of numerical value of one person? Like, doesn't make any sense, right? It should say he took X amount of people. That's what it says when they go to war in general, right? When Moshe goes to war and so on and so forth. U'mau sh'amar v'chelek ha'anashim asher halchu iti. And when Abraham declares that, oh yeah, there's a group of people that came with me, v'alo lo halachim okim Eliezer levado. So what are you talking about? Kliyaka says, Rashi says it was just Eliezer. What are you talking about? What do you mean there were many people that came with me? It was Eliezer. That's it, right? We divide him into 318 parts. Like, how do we understand this? Thank you. So basically, his question is, what gives here? Midrashically, again, we're taught this, that it was him and Eliezer, and they just... wrecked up the place. You know, they were like this dynamic duo, and they were able to, you know, take down entire armies, just the two of them. So I believe that if you look at this Rashi, I believe even Rashi would agree that he took also 318 people, men with him. Right? He brought an army with him. Because you know what? A person is required, is obligated to do everything in his natural means to, you know, fulfill a task, to get something done. And you have to work within the derech hateva. Like, you don't, what's the concept? Ein sumchin al anes. We don't rely on a miracle. Umashe yechzar hateva yeshlim anes. And whatever will whatever will be lacking in the in natural means, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will fill in the gap, right? When we say that the lightning strike that the Israel did in the Six-Day War, right, where they you know won this war against all of these Arab armies in basically in one day, and then ultimately in 6 days, but they won it in the very beginning. Could they have said, we'll just wait, we'll figure it out, No, they did this preemptive attack. It was an unbelievable, it caught them by surprise. And yes, it was miraculous that, and then these guys, and then Egypt laid down their weapons, and then the Syrians deserted their tanks. I mean, all of that, of course, but you have to work within nature. You can't just be, you're not like a comic book character. Abraham's not. What Rashi was dealing with was, why 318 men? Like, why is that the number? What is the Pasuk telling us when it says, it's Eliezer, and kind of this idea of 318? It's to teach us that the war was such a difficult situation that it seemed that of natural means there's no way they could have won. Abraham la milchama, and even so, Abraham went out to war. Because he believed that God would assist him. It's interesting. I mentioned the Six-Day War. Just parenthetically, there's a story told. It's a true story that a guy became Baal Tshuva. He ended up one of these Baal Tshuva yeshivas and whatever. And someone asked him to tell his story. And he said he grew up, he grew up in somewhere in America, a Jew, and he always wanted to be in the military. And he's in, he goes to it wasn't West Point, but some West Point type academy. And again, he wasn't brought up observant or anything like that. But he knew about his Jewish identity, he knew about Israel and so on. And he was in a class, one of the early foundational sort of classes, the core curriculum stuff he had to take was a class about military warfare through the history, strategy throughout the history, throughout history. And, they went from, back to whatever, Greece, Rome, all of these, battles, all the way up to modern times. And this guy, at the time, he raised his hand, he asked the teacher, what about the Israel's Six-Day War, against the Arab armies? There were pretty amazing strategies, I heard. And he ignored him. The teacher ignored him. So he asked again, please, whatever his name is, Captain, sir, what about Israel? Are we going to study that? And he got angry, the teacher, and he said, meet me after class. I know what you're trying to do. Freaking out, right? He's in a military academy. It's not a good idea to be insubordinate. And they talk after class. He says, I know what you were trying to do. He said, sir, I don't know what you mean. I was just asking. He said, you're trying to embarrass me in front of the class. He said, I really wasn't. I don't understand what you're talking about. Keep explaining. He said, so this captain general, whatever it was, he said, we studied those wars, right? In internal rooms, and basically I served here, there, whatever, and we've gotten together and tried to understand this war. We even did like a war game computer and it came out that in every situation, every scenario, Israel lost to Egypt, Syria, Lebanon, Iraq was about, in every scenario they lost. So we don't have an answer. We don't know. We don't know how it worked. We don't know, right? There is no strategy. And this guy hears the story, and he says, my God, wow. Like, okay, well, here's this general. He's basically saying, like, it was a miracle, right? Only God. And, you know, ultimately, he says, you know, he starts becoming more observant and finds a chaplain there on the base, et cetera, et cetera. Ultimately, ends up in Israel, you know, one of these yeshivot, and, you know, the rest is history, as they say. But that's the story here, right? Abraham tried his best, right? I'm going to fight the war to the best of my ability, whatever natural means possible. But ultimately, right, there were five kings, or it was four against five, and he's 318 people. That's it. So mikol makom, halach Abraham lamilchama, even so, Abraham went out to wage the war. Ki samach she'elohav yev Israel, because he figured Hashem will help. V'simana milti, ki lakach imo anashim kimispar Eliezer, Lehoroki Eliezer Levado Hayasham, Kilona Asani Tsachonahu, Bishum Pula Enoshit, Ki Ezer Eloki Levad. So the idea was, look, he brought the amount of people that's like, you know, the numerical value of the name Eliezer, essentially saying it's as if we had no one there. It's as if we only had Eliezer there, and you know, no matter how many people I would have brought, you know, maybe if I would have brought, you know, 20,000 people, would have done something. But it was as if I just had Eliezer. 318 was just like having one person. It wouldn't have mattered, right, in the face of these great odds, these great enemies. And ultimately, it was God that provided. It was God that that helped. And the fichach it says, Lo radav ki imadan, v'sham nisfal kashchina ba'avor ha'egel, she'atidin la'amid badan. That's why it says, Vayidof adam. Very weird language in the pasuk. It says they chased them, right? They routed them. They won this war, and they chased them up to Dan, which is the, you know, Gush Dan, right around the Dan's area where he lives. That's around Tel Aviv area in Israel. Misham nistal kashchina, and that's where the Shechina left because they were in Tel Aviv. Makes sense. I'm just kidding. because that ultimately there'd be an egel that was put there that they put by Dan, right? An idol, and so. But it shows that lefichach tashash kocho sham bistalkuda ezer eloki, because that's where they stopped. That's where their koach stopped, because there was a spiritual force, spiritual energy that was assisting them. Okay, so that's pshat. You have to try your best physically, and then Hashem will come and he'll fill in the blank. Okay, so that's one piece. Second piece, we're going to skip. We're going to go back to the Baruch of Abram, because you'll see why. But let's go to Bama Edaki Yerushim. Okay, so this is the story that leads into Brit Bein Avatarim, of, you know, getting into the covenant between the parts. And it's brought on, it's precipitated by Abram asking, Bamai Daki Irashem. How do I know, Hashem, you're promising me all this stuff. You're promising me children. Then you're promising me land. How do I know I'm going to inherit this land? How do I know it's going to happen? So the rabbis say, Rosina Zalamru, Ba'avur Sha'amar Abraham, next page, Bamai Da, Nenash Biadoa Teda. The rabbis say a very harsh, very difficult statement. I'm sure you've heard this before. For the punishment of Abraham saying, hey, Hashem, you know, you're promising, you're making all these promises. How do I know? Show me proof that I'm going to inherit this land, that this is actually going to happen, that I'm going to be the father of the Jewish people, whatever. So he's punished with Yadoa Teda. What's Yadoa Teda? Richard, Yadoa Teda? What? Yeah, Yadoa Teda, right? You shall surely know that your children will be slaves, strangers in a strange land. They're going to be slaves in Egypt. That's exactly what you were going to say. Good. He doubted Hashem. Right. So he gets punished that they're going to be slaves in Egypt. Listen to the Kliya. Okay, we've heard this. You heard this as we're kids. We're learning it. Okay, how will I know? Oh, he displayed a lack of faith. And therefore he's punished that his children are going to be slaves in Egypt. Okay? Changes the course of history by these two words. V'aseichel yema'ein lekabel drush zeh. Explain. Translate. V'haseichel yima'in l'kabel drush zeh. Translate. Kliyarka can say this. I'm not allowed to say stuff like this. Right? What did Kliyarka say? The mind refuses. Give my aim. The mind, our minds have to refuse to accept such a drasha. How the heck could this be? Sheyizbelu banav onesh gadol kazeh? Babur ha'ot sheshal Abraham? Because Hashem, because Abraham was being a human being, and Abraham said, hey Hashem, I'm trusting you, I'm with you, just show me, give me a sign, just show me something, I know, whatever. This is hard. He's still childless. But forgetting about Abram, his children are gonna suffer because he said, Hashem, you know, help me out here. Just give me a little sign. The Abram atzmo lo kibel shum onesh. And Abram doesn't get punished. Just his kids, just his grandkids, his great grandkids. So we're still whatever tzaras we have. Oh yes, because you know my great great grandfather, you know, was smoked a cigarette on Shabbos. Come on, what? It can't be. That can't be. Well, how can they say this? It's Rashi. This is straight out drush. Vishine vanav tikena, and his children. This is a great alliteration here. Vishine vanav tikena, and the teeth of his children should be blunted. Is that from
the Russia?
He goes to Pesach, right? So forever we're going to be chewing on this, right? He goes to Pesach. That's how Pesach happened, right? We go down to Egypt because of Abram. Al Kane. That's why I love the Kliyakar. Libi Omer v'Gomer. Therefore, my heart says, I can't believe this. He says, this goes against my theology, my hashkafa. My heart says and concludes, Omer v'gomer, shegalut mitzrayim hayulo sibor achirot. I'm sorry. The exile in Egypt, there were different reasons for the exile in Egypt. It wasn't because Abraham, you know, was a human being and he said, Hashem, you know, just give me, you know, help me out here. Give me a sign. Show me something. I want to believe. I do believe. V'nechleku bo raboseinu zal. And the rabbis disagree over this, and you'll find many, many different opinions in the Abarbanel. He's like, I can't, you know, there's a lot of different reasons. I'm not going to go into it. It's too much. Ah, Shabal Medrash Zeh Kashalo. Yeatam Elagolus Mashi Yeh. Lama zeh gira kodesh baruch besora ra'azo le Abraham litzaro b'chinam. What was happening? Why did the medrash? Why did the rabbis say this? What compelled the rabbis to give this drush? Oh, because he said this. This is what happened. Because they're struggling to understand why is Hashem giving Abraham bad tidings right now? Oh, they must be correlated. Because you said this, then there's going to be this. Al ze amar sheba avon b'ma'ida sheratzel leida davar shelo ayah bo tzorich leida ki malo levakesh ot al davar Hashem. Why should he ask about Hashem's, you know, Hashem's will or Hashem's promise? Al kene enash biyado teida sheodi al kadosh baruch hu davar letzaro v'ze gam kein mida k'neged mida. So what the Kli Yakar says, and it's a very elegant solution. His solution is. He says, look, the Medrash says what it says. I can't say it doesn't say that. It does say that. But why does it say that? He's saying because there are other reasons for Yetzias Mitzrayim. Why did Hashem give Abraham, meaning it was going to happen anyways. It was going to happen anyways. Why did Hashem give Abraham this bad news right now? Well, Mida k'neged mida, you know, because Abram's asking for good news. He's like, you know, what happens sometimes? We ask for the good news. Hey, give me the news. And what do we say? There's bad news and good news, right? Bad news. Which do you want first? What if usually people say, give me the bad news first, right? That's usually what people say, right? That's what happens. Hashem says, I'll give you the bad news first. Okay? You're going to be, Yadoa Tedaki, Yerezerach of Eristel Lahem, Abdum, and Utam, it'll be difficult, it'll be hard, but guess what? You're going to come back to Israel, it's going to be amazing, you're going to inherit the land, you're going to build two Batei Mikdashos, the Jewish people are going to come back in 1948, and Amir Tzashem will all be on an Elal plane very soon. So that's Pshat, right? That's Pshat. This is what's fearless about the Kli Yakar, and honest and true, and Mahalech on understanding Torah, but also understanding Abraham. Abram's a human being. It's okay that he asked. It's okay. It's okay. The whole fate of the Jewish people, you know, wasn't destroyed because Abram said, Hashem, help me out here. Right? And Abraham got together his army and they did their best, right? But it didn't even count. Turn the page back over, and it didn't even count because, you know, it was as if it was so, the odds were so insurmountable that they needed Hashem's help. But he did everything he could naturally to make it happen. Now, let's look at this last piece. This is really beautiful. Baruch Avram Lekel Elyon Koneh Shamayim Ba'aretz. Okay, so this is, if you remember, this is like weird, interesting encounter where after the war with the kings, Avram's like on his way back, and he meets this guy named Malki Tzedek Melech Shalem. Malki Tzedek, the king of Shalem. Shalem is like the area of Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim comes from the word Yeru and Shalem. There were two, those were two municipalities. There was a municipality called Yeru and a municipality called Shalem. Ultimately, it was a city united. That's the idea of Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim, right? It came together. So he's the king of Melech Shalem. He's some prophet, some, they say he was Shem, maybe Noah's son, some person who believed in God, the God that we know. But look at this. Baruch Avraham Elokei Elyon Koneh Shamayim Va'aretz. Blessed is Avram to the God of the heavens, the God of on high, who's the creator of the heavens and the earth. Lamala Namar Vihu Kohen Le'el Elyon. And earlier it also says that this man, Malki Tzedek, is the God, the priest to the God of heaven. V'lehizker Koneh Shamayim Va'aretz. But doesn't say he's the one who the God of who acquired heaven and earth, who created heaven and earth, who is the God of heaven and earth. It's the God of heaven up there. Why? Lifi shekodim sheba Abraham, because before Abraham came into the world and did what he did, hayanikra kadosh baruch hu kel elyon. Before Abraham came into the world, Hashem, God, if you believed in God, right? If you didn't believe in idolatry, you believed in God. He was the God of heaven. He's the God up there. The God of the heavens. Okay? Ki lo aita malchuto nitbarach nikar batachtonim. I couldn't recognize God down here. He wasn't. He was just some figment of people's, you know, faith and something up there, some fuzzy whatever. But it wasn't down here. It wasn't Hashem's presence wasn't manifested in this world. Right? Who brought it? Avram brought it into the world. Avram started preaching to the world about God. He was kind to people. He took people in. He gave them a nice meal. That's what he did. He opened his tent. He gave them a nice meal. He said, "Hey, that's the Medrash says, "Hey, let's bless God." They're like, "What? What do you mean? I ate food. The God of the food." No. It's God. It's this earth. It's here. Hashem is here. Kamo Shapirish Rashi. This is from Parshas Chayesara. Me and Mendel, and Aiden Morgenstern. Hashem Elokei Hashamayim, Asher Lokachani mi Beit Avi. Abram says, God, the God of heaven, who took me from my father's house. The Abram Hikna Shamayim Ba'aretz LaHashem. Abraham brought heaven and earth, and he acquired it for God. He brought God's presence into this world, into our lower earthly realm, into literally the sky and earth, into this atmosphere. Before that, Hashem was up in the cosmos. Abraham brought him down and made Hashem a real, tangible reality in this earth. Therefore, when we talk about Abraham, that's why it says, "Oh, you're the God. You know, you look. There's this God out there. Koneh Shamayim Ba'aretz. You brought him into this world." Eretz, Shamayim, that's this atmosphere, right? Abraham brought God into being. Before the world was, they say that the world has been divided 6,000 years, the world's supposed to exist, and it's divided into thirds, right? The first 2,000 years are the years of Tohu, the years of nothingness, chaos, confusion. The second 2,000 years are the years of Torah. The years of Torah. The third 2,000 are the years of the Mashiach, they say, right? That's where we're holding right now. When did the years of Torah begin? Abraham is born from creation? 1948. That's the best, the easiest, right? When does Abraham start preaching to the world? He's around 40, 50 years old. He's around 40, 50 years old. In the year 2000, from creation of the world, whatever, you know, whatever that whenever that started, whatever that means, however we render that counting, that's when the worlds of the years of Torah began. Why? Because Torah is very much in this world. In order to be a Ben Torah, in order to be someone who practices Torah, who keeps Torah, who keeps mitzvot, we live in this world and we do the best we can and we reach out to Hashem for help, right? But the idea ultimately is not to ascend and transcend, it's to very much be in this world and elevate this world through all of the good things, Emirat Hashem, the Torah, mitzvot, that we do. Shkoyach, everyone.